And we're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament, right before Zephaniah, right after Nahum. It is before Malachi. And I'm telling you all that because it's only three short chapters. And in my Bible, it's about a page and a half, so sometimes it's hard to find. But we're going to go to the book of Habakkuk, and believe the Lord would help us this morning. So good to see each of you. Most of you have your Bibles. And if you read your Bible, you do what it says, you're not going to have a problem. Somebody say amen. If you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Scripture tells us, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou will not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou will not save? Notice all the explanation marks there. Why doest thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? This is a burden which the prophet is seeing. He's talking to the Lord. He's praying and conversating with the Lord. For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth not ever go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Verse 5 says, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. I want to read that verse 5 again. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I'm going to do a work in your day that even if I told you, you wouldn't even believe it. Romans 16 and 20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Somebody say shortly. Now, when you break down that word bruise, used 8 times in the scripture in the King James Version, but when you break it down in its original definition, it means to crush completely, to shatter, to break. So the God of peace will crush Satan completely under your feet shortly. Think about that. For the God of peace is going to crush Satan, somebody say, under my feet in the next little while. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Come on, for what He's done and what He's about to do in the next little while. Hallelujah! Would you just begin to let there be some faith stirred up in here and say, He's going to crush Satan under my feet in the next little while. In the next little while. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. As you are seated, I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. Make the move. Make the move. There was a picture of a chess game that once hanged at the Louvre Museum in Paris, France. And on one side of the painting is the devil, and on the other side is a young man, and they're playing a chess game. The painting is called Checkmate, and the painting depicts the devil as winning the game. And as the story goes, a chess champion visited the Louvre Museum, and once standing there, he's in awe of the picture and a little perplexed about what he sees, and understanding he is a chess champion. And after studying the painting, he noticed that the arrangement on the chess pieces were incorrect. They weren't accurate. All of a sudden, he shouts, and he's shouting at the young man in the picture, and he says, young man, I found a move, one move. If you'll make that move, you can beat the devil. According to him, the devil in the picture, who thought he was winning, was in fact not winning. The man who thought he was losing was actually winning, because according to the pieces left on the chessboard, the king had one more move left, which would have made him the winner of the game. This chess champion calls over the curator, and they determine that the title didn't fit the scene because the forlorn-looking player actually has the ability to defeat his opponent, though he obviously doesn't realize it. The painting is a lie, the chess champion said. The young man's king can still make another move and win the game. And I believe it's the same thing sometimes with the children of God, that the devil seems to sometimes just to get us backed into a corner, or life or a situation seem to present itself and say, there's no way that you can win. There's no way that you can advance. There's no way that you can get yourself out of the financial situation in. There's just no way you can get out of the relationship of torment that you're in. There's no way that your life can be able to be better than it has been. There's just no way out of the circumstance that has presented itself to you. But I beg to differ this morning, because with God, all things are possible. And after all, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And He's got some moves. He's got some answers. He's got some prayers. He's got some doors. He's got some situations that when He opens them, ain't no man gonna be able to close. Ain't no devil in hell gonna be able to defeat. I've come to preach victory in this place this morning, that you gotta make the move in worship. You gotta make the move in prayer. Because there's just some things that God has yet to do in our lives this morning. The devil is a liar. Tell your neighbor, the devil is a liar. You may be surrounded by trouble. I'll give you that, but can I tell you, your trouble is surrounded by God. Your trouble is no match for our God. Your heartache is no match for our God this morning. If there's anything that you need to look up, you need to do what the psalmist says. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. For whence cometh my help? My help. Somebody say, my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Help is on the way. But we gotta look up. We gotta fix our eyes on the helper. He is the help. He's not just a provider. He is the provider. He's not just a way. He is the only way. But we gotta make some moves. We gotta get beyond where we've been and quit looking at what is presented before us and say, you know what? If God has got it here, He'll make me be able to go through it this morning. Now, I have this class that I teach once a month. There's six in there. It's called Firm Foundation, and it's a 12-month commitment. And it's called Firm Foundation. And in preparation for this class, man, this taco smells good. And in preparation for this class, I came across something. And I slow down for a moment because I want you to get this. It says, grow through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, what you go through. Grow through what you go through. Not everything that has come up against us or you're dealing with or walking down is meant to destroy you. Think about that.
Hallelujah.
Not everything you've gone through in your life was bad, will be bad, but they're all in some way or form, they ought to be a learning situation.
Yeah.
Right? Even if it was something you would never want to go through again, you've learned from it. Hopefully you've learned through it. And you're not going to make the same move again. You're not going to go backwards, right? You're not going to go put your hand in a hot boiling water and keep it there. But you've done that one time. You just, that's, once is enough. I don't need to go in the fire every time to realize that it's hot. I don't need to be around smoke to realize that if I stay in smoke long enough, I'll start smelling like smoke. Some of us need to make the move and say, you know what? I'm not living in this place anymore spiritually. I'm not living in this place emotionally or mentally anymore. I'm going to start making some moves forward. And one step forward is always better than one step backwards. And in fact, standing, making the move to stand right where you are instead of going to the side or going backwards is better than not moving at all. In fact, if you're going to move anyway, fall forward. That way, at least you've got some momentum forward. I want to preach some faith into somebody this morning. It's time to move in the Holy Ghost. It's time to move in the Spirit and say, you know what? Everything that God has done for me and with me and in me is meant for me to grow. It's meant to teach me, to show me that, you know what? He's going to bruise Satan under my feet. He's about to crush the enemy in a little while. And for somebody this morning, it's going to be at the altar call. But for somebody else, it may even be right now where he begins to crush Satan under your feet. Somebody say, make the move. Some of us need to make the move to prayer. Got to make the move to prayer. You got to make the move to repentance. You got to make the move to be faithful. You got to move towards faithfulness. Somebody say, God will help me. Many times God's waiting on us. Most instances I found it's me that has been doubting. God's not doubting. He is no doubt.
Right.
God's not doubting. He is no doubt. But a lot of times it's us. It's God sometimes in many cases, I believe this, has more faith in us than we have in ourselves. We have a tendency to only see what we see because that's what's tangible. But can I tell you, when you grab a hold of the book, even though you're grabbing a hold of the book, everything in here is tangible because the scripture tells us in Isaiah 55 that the word of his mouth, they don't go out and return to him void, but they accomplish its intended purpose. But many times it's us that has to make the move and say, you know what? I'm going to make the move towards repentance. I'm going to make the move towards worship. I'm going to make the move towards faithfulness. I'm going to make the move towards prayer. The Bible tells us, notice this, 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But it's up to us to make that move. You know, there's some things that Scripture tells us right here. There's some moves that he's going to make in our lives that even if he told us, we'd be like, no way. Me? Like really? Like me? You're going to use little old me? Scripture setting this morning, Habakkuk is very transparent. Scripture says it was the burden of Habakkuk, and he's crying unto the Lord. It's a burden. And the scriptures in Habakkuk 1:2 says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry?" I mean, he's just being very open and honest with the Lord. The theme of the book of Habakkuk is to show that God is still in control of the world despite the apparent triumph of evil. And it's the same thing this morning. We got to remember that God is still in control of everything and everybody.
Yes. Amen.
If you don't get anything out of this message this morning, God is still in control of everything and everybody. He's going to make some moves. Some we're going to like and some we're not going to like. But Bible prophecy is going to be fulfilled no matter what we think and no matter what we say. But it's up to us how Bible prophecy is fulfilled in our lives.
Amen.
Just think about that. And this was Habakkuk's cry unto the Lord. He's saying that there's violence and there's contention and there's spoiling and there's strife and there's iniquity. The law is lacked. Judgment doesn't go forth. There's wickedness all about me and there's wrong judgment that is taking place. It sound any anything similar to what we're facing today in modern day society and postmodernism and humanism mindsets? Can I tell you, God is still in control of everything and everybody, and He's got some moves He's going to make in your life if you will let Him, if you will move towards Him, not from Him, if you will move closer to Him. He says, draw nigh unto Me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Some of us have been moving further away from the Lord. He's saying, no, I need you to move closer to Me so I can move closer to you, so I can show you some things you've only thought about. And then I'm going to show you some things you've never thought about because it was too great and I couldn't tell you because you wouldn't be able to fathom it. The God that we serve is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that worketh within us. That means we got to move. We got to move. We got to activate the Spirit of God, which is in us. Somebody say amen. Amen. The man of God was burdened. He had a burden too. He was burdened. He begins to share how long, if you notice in that scripture setting that we read, all the explanation marks in there. And it was pretty serious. And just in the scripture setting that we read, there's two of them in one small area. Let's be honest. Has anybody ever cried out to the Lord with a burden and say, like, Lord, like, seriously, like, how much more? I mean, how much more can my family go through? How much more can my finances go through? How much more can my ministry take? How much more could you put on the weight of my shoulders, oh God? And Habakkuk felt the same way. But he made a move. He made a move to talk to the Lord about it. Not go talk to somebody else that couldn't do anything about it. A lot of times we're looking to get help from everybody else than the one who could fix it all in one shot. That's where the scripture says, I look towards the hills for whence cometh my help. My health cometh from the Lord. Amen. We gotta quit making moves towards the flesh and start taking some moves and steps in the Spirit. Yeah. Come on, somebody. What you sow in the flesh, you will reap in the flesh. But what you sow in the Spirit, you will reap in the Spirit. It's time for some of us to start making some moves in the Holy Ghost. Start making some moves with consecration and prayer unto the Lord and say, you know what? I may be like blind Bartimaeus. I may not be able to see what's going on, but I can hear that Jesus is around. You may not be able to see what God is doing, but you can feel what God is doing. And so you start making some moves. That's what blind Bartimaeus did. He just began to start making some moves because he knew enough about Jesus, about what he's heard, that he was able to heal and deliver blind Bartimaeus. And so Bartimaeus got up and he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Everybody says, hey, calm down. We know the story. Calm down, calm down. Jesus don't got time for you. Relax. Hush your mouth. But he was healed for crying out loud. Because he made a move. I wonder what would happen to us this morning if we would start moving. Spiritually start moving. We would start moving into prayer instead of depression. We would start moving into faithfulness instead of faithless. Right. What would happen if we started moving towards consecration instead of convenience? What would happen this morning? We started moving with stewardship instead of being doubtless. What would happen this morning? We start moving towards repentance and moved away from sinning. It's time for us to make a move. Some of us have got all kinds of things on our plate. Start to move some of those things off your plate so you can allow there to be manna from heaven, the bread of life that you can sup with instead of being consumed and filled with the things of this world and the cares of life, the deceitfulness of sins. God's got some moves and He wants to make in our lives. If we would move, if we would allow Him to. He's got some moves. You know, Zacchaeus in the Scripture, he had to get up in the tree, but he had to move. If he would have never moved into that tree, if he would have just stayed at whatever he could see and just take what he could get, he would have got lost in the crowd. It's time for some of us to move up spiritually. Get out of the rut that we're in of life and finances and with relationships. I'm coming at you with all kinds of angles this morning because I feel in the Holy Ghost that there's some folks that want to move, but you need a little bit of encouragement to move in the Spirit. And the pastors come this morning, if you grab a hold of that rope, I'll move, I'll pull on you, I'll drag you to a closer place to the Lord. But we got to move. We got to reach out and grab that. He's reaching out this morning and he's saying, follow me.
Yeah.
That's what he told his disciples in the Gospels. He said, follow me. The disciples had to move. They can't just say, well, maybe you come back next time. The Scriptures tells us that in one instance, in the Gospels, it tells us that immediately they left their nets and followed him. It was immediate. It wasn't, well, why don't you come back after I'm done cleaning my nets? Why don't you come back after... we've sold the boat, but it was immediately. Think about it in the Scripture in Acts chapter 2. The Apostle Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. It was the infilling of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And there was a lot of questions, and there was a lot of they were amazed and in wonderment. They even thought they were drunk at one point. Peter begins to give them a history lesson, and then he begins to preach in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And they asked a question which prompted him to give them the plan of salvation. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then he informed them, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And it says, and they gladly received. And they made a move to change. They made a move towards repentance and God added to the church. But they could have just stayed still and just said, well, that sounds real cool. This is a historical event. Wow, so awesome. But they made a move to change. They made the move to change. What about the lady, the Syrophoenician lady in John chapter 5? She's at the well. The disciples had gone to go get some food, and Jesus is there. This lady comes, and he begins to have conversation with her, dialogue with her, and he begins to tell her all about her. They begin to talk about Jacob's well, the water she was drawing. He said, give me something to drink. And what do you mean you want something to drink? You don't even have any, you're asking me for water? I'm a Samaritan. And Jesus was at Samaria, not the Syrophoenician. And they're having this conversation. And Jesus tells her, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink of water. Because the water I give, you won't have to thirst again. And that lady moved. She went and told, went back into town and began to tell everybody about Jesus. It's time for us, some of us, to move into evangelism and outreach, yeah, discipleship in your area of influence. God has positioned us for such a time. But it's up to us, and it's time for us to move. The Scripture tells us in our Scripture text in Romans that the God of peace we'll crush Satan or bruise Satan under our feet shortly. But in order for that to happen, we've got to move. We cannot allow the roar of life or the roar of the enemy or the roar of sin and the devil to intimidate us or to get us scared and stop us in our tracks. But we got to move. The Scripture tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we fight and we wrestle spiritual things, spiritual wickedness in high places and principalities. And it's up to us to be able to move with the shield of faith and to move with the sword, which is the Word of God, and have on the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. That's all for warfare. Warfare requires movement. Warfare requires strategy. Some of us need to have a strategy and say, when I start feeling depressed or oppressed, I'm going to move into worship. And I'm going to begin to worship the Lord. When I begin to feel as if all I have left is a few dollars, I want to be able to thank God for the few dollars that I have and begin to thank Him in advance for the hundreds of dollars that are coming my way. I'm not going to look at my situation and get discouraged. I may get frustrated, but I'm going to look at that thing and say, you know what? The God of peace is going to give me peace, which passeth all understanding. Come on, we're Holy Ghost filled people. We're people of the name of Jesus. We've got the victory in the name of Jesus. We're overcomers this morning. But it's time for some of us to move and to make that move that the Lord wants us and needs us to move. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's time for us to move towards a holy living and a submitted life. Not trying to live on the fringes of holiness, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds and be able. He has called us into holiness. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous life. It's time for us for some people to start to take what you have and put it in, and to move and put it in the hands of the Lord who can do something with it. Just think about that. Let's look in John chapter 6. In verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up His eyes, He saw a great company coming unto Him. He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for he himself knew what He would do. Tell your neighbor, Jesus was about to make a move. Notice this. Scripture says, for He knew Himself what He would do. Have you ever had something like that happen where maybe with your kids that you ask them something, but you already know what you're going to do regardless? But something, as Elder Uzi would say, something gooder is about to happen if they react in a different way. Something gooder and gooder is about to happen. Same thing with the Lord many times. Say, well, they're really thankful, so I'm going to give them a double portion. They're really worshiping right now. I'm going to bless them with more than enough that they need. And so Jesus was about to make a move. Notice this. Philip answered him and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here. Somebody say, there's a boy here, which hath 5 barley loaves. It wasn't even wheat. It was barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men to sit down. So the men had to make a move. And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now, I don't know about you, but 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish is probably enough for a 10-year-old. But not for 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Just think about that for a moment. Little boy had to make a move and give what he had to Jesus. Let's back it up. Andrew had to make the move and say, there's a little boy right here that's got a lunch. The little boy had to make the move to give his lunch to Jesus. The people, the men, the 5,000 had to make the move to obey key word, obedience, they had to obey what Jesus instructed them to do. Let's just have a Wednesday night Bible study here real quick. If we obey what the Lord is asking us to do, life would just be a whole lot easier. Just think about that. Let's just let that settle in our spirits. Scripture tells us, let's be hearers and doers of the Word of God. In fact, it tells us, don't just be a listener, be a doer of the Word of God. It's got a time to start putting into action what we know and what God is speaking to us, and start acting in the Spirit and acting in our life, what we think about, what we dream about, what we envision, what God has told us and says, I call you Abraham. I call you a father of many nations. But Abraham had to move. Abraham had to get beyond where he was and begin to move. And the scripture tells us that Abraham would move to a city whose maker and whose founder was God. It's time for us to start moving in the Spirit and start moving in our lives in a spiritual sense towards the things of righteousness instead of the things of carnality. We need to start moving towards Jesus instead of moving towards the things of this world. We got to start moving towards the things of God instead of the things of the flesh. It's time for us to start making those moves. Some of us have gone too far and too long of moving in the wrong direction. It's time for some of us to make a U-turn and get back on track and start moving towards the cross and start moving towards living for God and being saved and being living for God with fire and authority and dominion. Somebody say, make the move. Abraham, Lord changes his name. But nothing had happened yet. But if you we know the story, we know the ending from the beginning because we've read it. He becomes a father of many nations. But way back in Genesis, when the Lord says, Abraham, I'm calling you out of Ur of the Chaldeans. I need you to get up and I need you to move. Abraham would have said, no, I kind of like it right here. I think I'll just stay right here. There would have been a different ending to Abraham's life. Same thing with us this morning. If we just stay in the rut that we're in, there's going to be a different story about us. But if you can have a little faith and a little bit of stirring in your spirit this morning and begin to move towards the prodding of the Holy Ghost and begin to move towards the call of God in your life, there's going to be an ending to your story that you won't even be able to imagine or fathom. Even if the Lord Himself came today and says, this is what's about to happen, because we naturally have doubt. That's why the scripture says He calls those things that are not as though they are. Because we only see through a certain lens, and the Lord sees the end and the beginning. How about the lady with the issue of blood? In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, if you're taking notes. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That right there, Mr. Coronado, that's not very encouraging. She had suffered a lot of many physicians, spent all she had, didn't get better, but she got worse. Anybody just be honest and say, I can almost relate to that. Anybody? Yeah. But she had to make the move. For she said, verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press or in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, somebody say the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She had to make another move. Sometimes you got to make more than one move to get from the Lord what he's about to give you. Just think about Elijah praying for rain. And he sends his assistant to go back and go look 6 or 7 times. He says, you're the man of God and you're praying for rain, but no rain's coming. We'll go again. I don't see anything. We'll go again. Still nothing. We'll go again. This time, I see a cloud likened to a man's fist. Can I tell you? Whatever it is that the Lord sends our way, it is enough. Whatever it is that He sends our way, it'll be sufficient. He can sustain you. He'll deliver you. He'll heal you. He'll bless you. And if it's from God, can't nobody close the door? Can nobody shut the door? They can try to slam the door, but it's going to swing wide open. But it's time for us to start making some moves in the Spirit and start making some moves in the Holy Ghost. Start making some moves with our walk with God and move forward and believe that God can change our lives. This lady, as the musicians begin to come, she had to make another move. And Jesus says unto her in verse 34, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." I wonder what would have happened if she would have just stayed home and didn't make the move towards Jesus. This lady, just think of this. For 12 years, 12 years, Brother Andre, this lady dealt with the infirmity in her body. For 12 years, always had to have a plan or a strategy for her day. Where she can go, how long she could stay, where she could sit. Did she have to bring a change of clothing? 12 years is a long time. How would some of us like to go back in time and go back to school for 12 years? Right? Now it's getting a little bit personal, huh? See, I barely made it through the first 4 years. You know? But she suffered financially for 12 years. She spent all she had and she got worse. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. This lady, I've preached about it before, she's identified by her condition. We don't know her name. She's just identified by the 12 years of her infirmity. And maybe you feel the same way this morning. Maybe you feel like you only identify with your predicament or your situations. Maybe that's how you feel, that you're identified and you're recognized by your condition. But you got to decide this morning to believe the word of the Lord. Ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told to you. I know we're living in perilous times. I know that there's economic uncertainty. I know that there's disarray in our neighborhoods. I know that there's conflict in families and heartache. But God's not worried. God's not stressed out. He doesn't have a money problem. But how long will we sit in idleness in the presence of the Lord? How long will we stand and soak in our dilemmas and want to change, but make no move to change? Today's a wonderful day to make the move. Amen. To a deeper walk with God, to a holy living, to a greater anointing. Sister Durazik, when I was growing up, this is no disrespect, but we weren't, until I probably got in high school, we weren't pressured into going to college. It was just live for God. And I'm a proponent of education as long as you can spiritually handle it and financially pay for it. But let's be a servant of the Lord. Just serve the Lord. Pursue the Lord. Pursue your salvation. Where have we gone wrong? Where are those that want to make the move towards ministry or the call to preach? Just seeing your family saved and live for the Lord. Instead of making the move to a bigger home or more money in the bank or make the move towards a more comfortable retirement. Look, we got a plan, and failure to plan is plan to fail. I get that. I don't believe that God's people should be living in poverty. I don't believe that. I don't feel that. I don't see that in the Scripture. But we got to start making some moves. It's all about the Lord. Going to college ought to be all about the Lord. To let your light shine. To be able to get a career. To be able to be a better steward for your family and for the Lord. But where did we go wrong where we make the move towards spectating instead of participating? This is the body. Where's moves of, well, I'll pray about it, but we don't pray about it. Because it just sounds good. It's because it's what we're supposed to say. We're supposed to pray about it if that's what we say. Quit spiritually procrastinating. I know it hurts. I know Pastor slowed it down. I'm coming after you. Because where did we go wrong? Where it's about titles and positions and look at me. Instead of just making the move to say, oh Lord, here am I. Purge me. Cleanse me. Help me. Forgive me. Bless me. It's time for some of us to make the move and start walking with the Lord again. 2 Corinthians tells us in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God, help us to be more people of faith. Just to go. Because Scripture tells us in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And ask Him if He's answered our prayers before. Sister Kendrick, He can answer them again today. Sister Mendoza, He can answer them again tomorrow. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 tells us as we stand, I want you to get this scripture in your spirit. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth the covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. In a moment, I'm going to make an invitation to the altar. It's what we call the altar call. It's the call to the altar. And Pastor Panero's perception, the altar call is the second most important part of the service. The first part is the part that we just experienced, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of the Lord. The second part is the call to prayer, the call to repentance. The call to place whatever it is we've brought in here, doubt, worry, faith, joy, questions, and to lay it at the altar so the Lord can allow the fire to burn whatever we've placed on the altar. It's time for some of us to move and to have an altar experience again today. Not spectate. Not say, well, Pastor, that was good. But maybe tonight or maybe next Sunday, I say it often because I live with this mentality. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not. I've been to too many bedside of people that I've prayed for or gone to visit, and they didn't make it to the next day, and young and younger than me. We're breath by breath. It's time for some of us to make the move and come. Find a place to pray and respond to the call of God that is pulling on you. This is called a pulpit, and I'm pulling you, some of you from the pit, but I'm pulling you. God wants you to respond to the call this morning. The psalmist tells us, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. The altars are open this morning. And I wonder who will make the first move to go from beyond what was normal, what has been, and what we've always done, and make the move to a deeper consecration to the Lord. Who will come this morning? What fathers or husbands would grab your wife's hand and say, we're going to move. We're going to come to the altar. Great opportunity this morning because the kids are still out. I wonder what folks come from the sound room or the platform or would just come from the pew and gather around the front and say, we're going to make the move. I'm going to pray. I'm going to make that move. I've been making moves all week long. I've been making decisions all week long for finances and family, business strategies, and about our health. I've been working hard all week long, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours on the job. Let's make the right move this morning. Let's make the move that counts. Let's make the move this morning that Lord, I'm going to make that move because you're about to do some things in my life, God, that only you can do. It's a time.